everybody, and welcome to Radio Radar, episode 129. I am your host, Henry Gilbert, and I'm here with...
Lorenzo Valoria.
Jan Jones.
And Ashley Reed.
And it's been a big week of GDC. Everybody, did everybody here get a chance to go there at least once?
Oh, yes. Saw so many things, so much stuff.
I totally missed the show floor, though.
Did you?
I was there early in the week.
Until Wednesday.
Yeah, so. I was there early in the week, and Wednesday was kind of like an all-day running around like hotel rooms and stuff.
I didn't have to go because they were all in my neighborhood. seriously, I walked down, and you could just tell the GDC people because they don't take off their name badges.
I know.
It's like, dude, take off your name badge.
I feel shame when I'm walking around.
It's so sad.
I tuck it in at least. Sometimes I forget I'm wearing it,
but yeah, it's like at Comic-Con. It's like, oh, I'm outside. Good, I can take this chain off my neck.
As soon as you can take it off, you do. It's not because we're ashamed we work in video games, but it's because you just look like a giant toolbox when you're out on the streets of San Francisco. You might as well just say, mug me.
I'm from out of town. Please mug me.
I belong to this convention. Yeah.
I know. You wear the lanyards not because you want to, but because you have to be on the show floor. And once it's over, you should...
Then you save them and display them. Yeah. But not while you're walking through the Tenderloin.
Oh my God.
I mean, they're all like, you know, it's just, you might as well just say, please mug me.
Well, it's also like Nerd Patrol anyway.
It's super Nerd Patrol.
And it's got your name on it. People could just be like, hey, Lorenzo, what's up? From Games Radar? You're from Games Radar? Yeah.
Yeah, you just take that off. And especially if you're in a party because.
At a what?
Yeah, when you go to a party, you should take it off.
Oh, yeah. I'm just like shocked that someone has to be reminded of that. Like someone needs to be told.
Because I live down by Union Square in San Francisco. So
a lot of parties going on.
Tons of parties. But yeah, they are just, it's like every day when I walk to work, all over the place. And I think I was walking through Union Square the other night at 9 o'clock and they still had their badges on.
Oh my God, that's way after hours.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, dudes.
No, that is not cool. But
we are judging you.
I didn't go to any parties this year. I got invited to two, and one, I just didn't go to the Sega one because I didn't want to. It started at 8 and I left work at 6 and blah, 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 blah. But the second one was the Telltale party and I didn't go to that. I tried to go to that, but I thought it started at 7, but I thought I could be just lazy and I'll roll up around 9. I'm sure it'll still be there. And then once I got there, the bouncer outside was like, no, they've hit capacity. You can't come in. Uh-huh. And then we were waiting outside does that mean when people leave we can come in? He's like, no. No matter who keeps coming in, they paid for drinks for up to X amount of people, and they're in now. So we're not letting anyone else
in.
Oh,
damn. Man.
Yeah, I went to more GDC parties last year before I went to Games Radar, before I worked here at Games Radar. My friend Susan was in town, and I went to all of her parties, and it was like, woohoo! And yeah, it was a good time. But this year, I skipped out. I was...
I will say I did go to that Telltale party. It was good, but
you were in there while
I was one of those people who was keeping you out. Yeah. Well, great. I left kind of early because I'd been standing all day and I was in heels. Mm. And it's easier to stand in heels than it is to walk in them. Once you start walking, you realize how much it hurts. So I had to, and I walked 2 blocks. It wasn't far. I'm like, my car is parked 2 blocks from here. I'll just walk. Every step, it was like, oh God, this agony.
Ashley, the key to wearing heels is once you can't feel your feet, they can't hurt.
That's true.
Yeah. No.
I own no flats anyway.
Yeah. No. Seriously.
Those
if you can't
roll
feel
up
it,
ones, those roll
yeah, the
up flats.
Footsie rolls. Yeah. No, once you can't feel your feet, they can't hurt. That's my philosophy.
That's very true.
If my toes are numb, they don't hurt.
I wasn't there yet, though. I was not there.
But I saw this dude, big, 6 foot tall black dude who was at the LGBT, one of the LGBT panels I went to. And then after he stood up and started walking away, I had on these killer purple heels. I was like, oh,
ooh,
that's why you look like you're 7 feet tall instead of 6'5". He seems to be doing all right with him. But anywho,
that's pretty hardcore.
Gimme.
Let's see. Yeah, so we posted a lot of stuff out of GDC, and you should definitely read. We had a fun article that was just 12 cool things we learned at GDC or interesting facts. One of my favorites was the Danganronpa panel for the game. It was actually a pretty boring panel, honestly, because the writer of the game was like, here's how you make characters, and then you give them things to do. But he bookended it with these funny slides that said, why won't people buy Vitas? Like, why don't people buy Vita? Like, he was one of the few, like, he's one of the premier makers of Vita games, and he was just so frustrated. Like, why aren't people buying the Vita?
It actually, I saw, and this wasn't part of the sleds, I'm going to do something else for this, but I went to a panel where they talked about just, like, data, like, just mountains and mountains of data. And one of the things they talked about was hardware purchases. And they're like, okay, PS4 is up here. Xbox One is up here. And Wii is here. And Wii U is here. And then I got to Vita and it was barely on the screen. Yeah. Like, you could not see it. I'm like, oh, that's so sad.
It's just a sliver. Like the one person.
And the PSP was right next to it. It did fine. And then it's like, Vita.
But yeah, okay, so I guess this is now time when we would go into our top seven. So now it's time for the top seven. This week's was the article we post every Monday. This week's was greatest kart racers, parentheses, that aren't Mario Kart, close parentheses.
I feel like Mario Kart would dominate this list.
Well, yeah, this is
without that caveat.
That's why there's only seven.
I think that is kind of what you'd limit it to. But yeah, there's so many great kart racers that are just Mario Kart that you could just limit yourself to that. And there have been so many awful kart racers that try to rip off Mario Kart. It might turn you on the very idea of one not made by Nintendo. But there's a surprising number of them that starting with number seven, Mod Nation Racers. So anybody play this? Because honestly, I was like kind of like, bleh, it's like Little Big Planet, but with karts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of cool. That's kind of an interesting concept, right? Like,
yeah. I think if people made cool cart, I mean, it was about making tracks. Like, I really like that. Like, and it kind of like Little Big Planet, it depends on how many good tracks were made by other people. And the history of Mod Nation Racers was funny to me from the outside because they announced it at Sony's E3 press conference, and people were saying, this looks sort of like Little Big Planet, but it's not. And then within 2 years, they just made Little Big Planet carts. Or no, Little Big Planet karting. And by the same people as Mod Nation, just them throwing up their hands like, all right, look, it's the same game just with Sackboy in it. Will you buy it now?
Please, please buy this, please.
But I think too, if you only have a Sony system, like you're not playing Mario Kart, and so this was one of your few like chances to play it, and it gave something to an audience that wasn't having it otherwise.
Yeah, that's true.
Number six, Konami Crazy Racers.
I'm actually not familiar with this.
Yeah, I have no idea what this is.
Wow, that's you guys clearly didn't own a GBA and launch like I did.
No.
No, I did not.
Well, so the Game Boy Advance was lacking in a lot of games when it first launched, so some super Japanese stuff that would normally come here came out, and that's what Konami Crazy Racers is, also called YY Racing in Japan for very strange reasons.
Like, why did they make this?
Yeah.
It's a team-up of a bunch of Konami characters, like though that also means they have a lot of M-rated characters, because like Gray Fox from Metal Gear, Alucard, I believe, not in this one, but in a sequel, I think it was, the Pyramid Head's even in it.
Really?
And Dead or Alive character. Dead or Alive, Rumble Roses. Rumble
oh, my
Roses.
God.
See, that totally sounds wrong, because most kart racers are like the cutesy, like big-headed characters, yeah. Realistic Alucard.
I kind of want to play this. Well, this kind of sounds awesome. I want to be Pyramid Head.
Well, they made them cutesier. Like, so they just cutified M-rated characters. I mean, they did having problems there, Ashley?
People keep sending me messages. I'm like, no, it's go okay. away.
All right, but anyway, they, where was I? Oh, yeah. I mean, there were characters like Goemon and others that were classic NES level characters. But yeah, it was a fun game. And especially when in the GBA started, there was no Mario Kart. And actually, the GBA's Mario Kart kind of sucked. Well, by Mario Kart standards, sucked. And so Konami Crazy Racers was a good thing, is a good alternative to it. Also, the why it's called YY Racing, which is romanized as W-A-I-W-A-I. Apparently that's an onomatopoeia in Japanese for like a crowded room. I think it's just like if you if you see like the British Parliament go like rabble, 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 or like on South Park when they go rabble, rabble.
A bunch of people going why,
I think I think that's maybe it.
Maybe.
And but it started. It's a series. We didn't get the first one. It was called Why World, which was a weird mashup game that brought together all these Konami characters on the NES, including like King Kong, because King Kong appeared in a game Konami made, and it was a very, very strange setup.
Feels like if all those non-licensed Sega games got together and made a kart racer.
And I believe you can get a version of Crazy Konami Racers on iOS. Like, now it's like many things.
It kind of looks like it looks about that quality.
But it was good.
No.
As seen on this list. All right, number 5. Crash Team Racing.
Woo-hoo! Oh, man.
Sorry, I was a big Crash Bandicoot fan in the Naughty Dog days. Mm. My love for Crash Bandicoot and his awkward, weird pelvic thrusting dancing is well known.
Did you play Crash Team Racing?
I did. I played it. I don't do well with the racers because they make me sick.
Ah, yes.
So I would love, you know, anytime you slap Crash Bandicoot on something back in those, I would be like, woohoo, Crash.
But you can play, like
I can't play Mario
Sims,
Kart.
Though, right? I thought you could play, like, Racing Sims.
I can, but it's not. Those are different because they're more realistic.
Right.
Like, when you're doing, like, where you can, like, super spin out and, like, all of the for some reason, they just make me, I think it's the cartoony aspect of it.
Bleh, yeah,
they make me kind of nauseous.
Yeah.
But I did try to play Crash Team Racers.
Oh, guys, if you want to look it up, it's called Crazy Kart Racers, the Konami one. But, I think Crash Team, you know, it, again, was an exclusive, originally an exclusive, then it went multi-platform when it left PlayStation, but it was a PlayStation exclusive, and you know, if you didn't have Mario Kart 64, it was a good alternative. And it was also an interesting thing where for both Crash and Ratchet and Clank and Jak and Daxter, like Naughty Dog made a trilogy of games and then made a racing game. And a lot of people, I knew a few people were like, oh, when's the Uncharted racing game coming? And they made 3 Uncharted, so it's time for a racing game. But Naughty Dog seemed to actually avoid that and is making a 4th Uncharted game instead without a racing game.
You don't know. Maybe he'll end up hopping in a cart like halfway
Maybe
through.
Maybe it's really a racing game.
They're really fooling you, and the very first thing he does is hop in a little cart, and that's the whole game. They're going very Kojima on this one.
They've been keeping it a secret all the way. We'll have Kojima talk when we in the second segment too, but let's just tease that real quick. But Crash Team, moving on.
No!
Number 4, Diddy Kong Racing for
damn
the N64.
Damn straight. This is my jam.
You are such a rare fangirl.
I really am. This was like when my parents bought me an N64 when I was a kid, it came with Pokemon Snap, so I had that. And then my grandma bought me Diddy Kong Racing. So those were like the two games I interchanged for like a while. So yeah, I got pretty good, but I never got past WizPig. Never beat WizPig. I wasn't good enough. I just could not. Maybe I'll try it again. Maybe I've gotten better. But
we should play this game in the office. I played the crap out of Diddy Kong Racing.
You got to the space world?
Super good. Mm-hmm.
You bastard.
I beat the whole thing.
Well, I know
WizPig.
People give, including me, give rare crap for just kind of like taking ideas from Nintendo, or like Nintendo does it and then they just copy it or do it.
Well, it was
like
totally a
graphics.
Mario Kart game. It was like,
but they did one better than Mario Kart than it was. Like, no, it's not just carts. It's it's
planes and
hovercrafts.
Yeah.
And they can all race each other. Like, you can be on a plane racing a car and the car can still win. It's actually pretty good.
And if I remember correctly, the planes were actually really fun to use.
They were fun in racing, but I remember the versus battles that were just
God.
Like the one that was inside a volcano, it was just like searching for other people.
The one where you're like carrying the eggs and you had to like shoot people down before they could get. I kind of loved that, I gotta say. There was part of that one was definitely, it felt like incremental accomplishments because I started out and I wasn't that good because I was a little kid, but like I kept practicing and getting better and better and better. So I still didn't ever beat WizPig, but I still felt like I accomplished something beating all those bosses. Took work.
They put in deeper objectives than just Mario Kart had. Because Mario Kart, even to this day with 8, they're like, all right, can you win 4 races in a row? then you unlock the new thing. Yay. Like, and it's as simple as that. Well, in this one, they in Diddy Kong, they did give you more, like, varied objectives.
Yeah, and you had, like, a hub world, too, that you could drive around.
Yeah, and it had the first appearance of Conker.
Yeah, Conker.
Which was so damn funny.
Yeah, I remember.
It was only funny in retrospect, because he was in there because they thought he was going to be a cute character.
Yeah, and then he was just, like, the foul-mouthed red squirrel that kills everything.
Drunk red squirrel.
Well, don't feel bad about not beating Whizpig, Ashley, because you are the Richard Avedon of Pokemon Snap.
All right, number six, Speedpunks. I don't know anything about Speedpunks.
Moving on.
I actually really don't. Like, I forgot to take notes.
Oh, it looks like it. Hold up.
But it's Speed Freaks in Europe. Because what kid wouldn't want to play a game called Speed Freaks?
I mean, that would make me significantly more interested immediately. But it looks like this one came from, I'm seeing here, it's a stellar kart racer from Ireland of all places. Though, that actually doesn't shock me because we've gotten some good stuff from there before, like the Havoc engine. Thank you.
You can't look down on Ireland. So.
No, they've done some good stuff. I just like see the way it's written here is like the unlikeliest of places, Ireland. I'm like, is that unlikely? But not to give
did a British person write this?
No, was Maxwell McGee.
Oh, never
also,
mind.
Irish guys are pretty good looking. I was just gonna say.
I was wondering if we were getting caught in the battle in the rivalry between England and Ireland. Quick aside thing. I remember this weekend, Andy told the funny story that he wanted to watch the rugby. There was a big rugby match live between, I believe it was, England and Ireland.
Yes, it was.
And the only places, if you're a European expatriate in the U.S., pretty much the only place you can see rugby is at pubs, like one of a few pubs that are around. And an Irish pub was the only one that was nearby. So he was surrounded by the Irish having to watch his team lose.
Well, he thought it was going to be fun. I mean, he was, because I told him, like, you know, you can go to this bar over here. They open at 6, and they said if it's on DirecTV, they'll play it. And he's like, no, this one sounds like it's going to be more fun. There'll be more people. And then he was like, oh, they were all Irish people.
You went to an Irish pub.
There's so many Irish
guys
people
there who were, like, rooting for my team, and we lost.
Apparently they lost bad, too. Yeah, so that was, like, what made it worse. Oh, no. Yeah. So Speedpunks, everybody.
Okay, Speedpunks.
Number two, Blur. I loved Blur when it first came out, but it got, like, completely ignored. It was such a cool idea of Activision to just... Activision published it. I forget the developer, but they... It was the components of a kart racer, but with the graphics of a grown-up sim. So these... realistic looking cars had like power ups that were like energy based that may as well be a green turtle shell, but it didn't look cartoony. And the races were a lot of fun. Like I really enjoyed playing it online, and it was nice to, at the time, the prospect of an HD game that played like Mario Kart was very novel indeed. And so I really got behind. I remember the first 24-hour marathon I was involved in for GR, like in 2010. Mm-hmm. Blur had just come out, and we were playing it online, and the people you're playing with were like, oh, wow, I rented this because you guys said you were going to play it. I had no idea this even came out. This looks awesome.
It's like, this is really cool. Man, that just seems like a weird market to play to, though. I think that's probably what got them in trouble.
Yeah. It was an interesting idea of going like, hey, all these people grew up playing kart racers. Now they want a grown-up one. Let's give it to them. And so they even had a funny trailer that was cutesy kart racers staring at, watching through like a grate. They were on the other side. The grass was always greener was basically the message of just cutesy kart racers watching the fun happening in Blur. Like it was a good game. I bet you'd find it for like $5 now. It is worth it. And then lastly, number one, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed.
You know,
what a name.
I think Sonic's kind of boring.
Oh, no. But Hold on.
Sonic is pretty boring.
There we go.
I wouldn't say that about this game. So the Sonic, even though Sonic's in the name of it, it really is Sega All-Stars Racing. Like, it is more so than what Mario Kart is. It brings together everybody from Sega into one game. Like, it's not just Sonic characters that are racing. It's characters from as like deep as like Shenmue are in the game. And,
whoa.
And also Wreck-It Ralph is in it too, which
what?
Is very strange. Wow. Yeah.
That is
yeah,
very that is strange.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's how I got to see Wreck-It Ralph for free because, or I got to see it at a press screening because Sega invited Games Press to it because they were also going to announce that Wreck-It Ralph is in the game. But as is Danica Patrick, the
what?
NASCAR driver.
She's a character
yep.
in it?
Playable character.
This sounds very weird. Confused.
Wham! Banjo-Kazooie was in the Xbox 360 version as well. Like, it was a weird
this is weird.
Thing. Yeah, but... But the transform element really shook things up in it. Like, it was kind of like how Diddy was similar to the other kart racers but tried something new. Sonic did the same thing. And it's somebody like beleaguered Sega fans really appreciated getting to see all these characters again, even though they probably never get their own real game again. They at least got to hang out with them in these racing games.
I guess that's a little depressing.
You think what you can get.
But, yeah.
All right. So that is the top 7 greatest kart racers that aren't Mario Kart. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, the current events where we talk about news and previews and reviews.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
Hi! Welcome back. Now it's time for the current events segment.
So I managed to leave and come back with coffee.
There was a lot of news this week and almost too much to touch on out of GDC. But
oh,
I'm just going to get
oh,
with
so
the,
much.
The four big ones. all right, three big ones and then one that I just like and want to talk about. But I believe the biggest was Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, getting a real release date.
Sweet.
And, like, comes out globally on September 1st, which... Pretty early. Like, I expected November for them. So getting out in September, like, maybe now after Destiny, it's like, no, September's when you can launch stuff.
Yeah, they just it seemed like they just want to beat out everybody with the crazy release,
it
holiday release
so
schedule.
It makes so much sense, though, especially if you're competing for a game of the year.
Oh, yeah.
To have that lead time.
Yeah.
Because you're close enough, but you're still, like, you're close enough to the end of the year. People still hopefully should remember you, are playing you, are buying you.
Mm-hmm.
But they have time because the things that came out in December just, you know.
And, I mean, theoretically, if you release in September, you still have some time to sell, but you'll still end up as part of the Black Friday stuff,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I just kind of expected this to never come. Like, I don't know. It was, they announced it, like, so long ago. Like, they showed the Ground Zeroes demo about 2012 or something.
Yeah.
And they announced the Fox Engine about a year or so before that. And then, like, it was a GDC 2 years ago is when they showed the first real demo of the Phantom Pain. And so it just seemed like it was never coming. Like, and it's such a huge game. Like, also, for example, the game's never really been playable. Ground Zeroes has, but not Phantom Pain.
Yeah.
And when it should have been playable, Konami, at Konami's booth at E3 last year, they just had a private showing and a very empty booth, which looked like it was supposed to have a bunch of playable kiosks and did not.
Yeah, when it comes to the Metal Gear franchise, I always feel like I'm waiting forever just to play the next game. It might just be like a mental thing to me, but like, I don't know they just have this such a long draw time from the time they tease the first thing and it's like barely anything,
well,
and then they just kind of trickle it all in for like years until it comes out.
The series creator Hideo Kojima loves teasing stuff.
I know.
Like, he gets
he loves
off
to joke
on
around
people about and joke like
stuff.
Aha, I'm showing you this. No, I'm not.
I came here to show you boxes. Goodbye.
I mean, you know, in the world of annualized releases and everything being planned out to the nth degree, his kind of like freeformness like is different. Like, I like that. It stands out from like Oh, yeah. You know, they're working on the next three Assassin's Creeds right now. You're going to see them for the next 3 years. Call of Duty, whatever. Put in your annualized series of choice there. I'm not trying to pick on one. And then, meanwhile, Kojima just seems to get to do whatever he feels like.
Yeah.
Right? And more so than most, anyway.
And it makes you want to play that game even more. When they first announced it, I was just kind of like, you know, I could do without playing another Metal Gear. But, like, now that I've been waiting for it for this long, I'm like, so ready to play this game.
That's what
I'm
he's...
so ready to play another Metal Gear. I even played, you know, Ground Zeroes, and I'm like, I'm all into.
Yeah, the
G5.
Sorry, Ashley. You were
saying... Oh, that's what he's doing. He's preparing you.
Yeah, he's a hype machine. He knows how to do it.
Well, he also says this will be his last one, which he has said every Metal Gear Solid game. He said this will be my last one. Yeah. I believe it more this time, just because I don't think you'll have the freedom to do whatever he wants in the next game. Mm-hmm. And if you see what Konami publishes now, other than things made by Kojima, they don't publish much. Like, they have Silent Hills coming. Castlevania seems dead. There's Metal Gear Solid. And then they have Sucker and nothing else on a console. So, I don't know, guys. It makes you wonder what if Kojima's options are running out.
Yeah.
But... also, there's a fancy special edition, which I'm tempted to get. I normally bulk at expensive special editions, but this one comes with a miniaturized version of Snake's robo hand.
Oh, yeah.
That can grip your controller.
Oh, what?
Holy crap.
It's like a stand for your controller that's a recreation of his robo hand.
That'd be awesome if it charges your controller.
Ooh.
Oh, see? They should have neon on this stuff.
All right. Then also, there was the announcement of Rock Band 4.
Back. Return of the bands again.
Yeah.
Living
but everybody
room bands.
Already gave their Rock Band sets to Goodwill.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they'll have to make new... Well, because they're coming to next gen, they have to make new toys.
Oh, my God.
Well, I was reading what Maxwell wrote wrote to the review on it, but apparently they're trying to make it so that you could use the old peripherals with the new game.
Really?
Yeah. So you don't necessarily have to buy all that stuff?
I guess if they're just USB plugs, they can... I mean, it's just a...
It's just a message. USBs, isn't
it? It's either you're plugging it in by a USB,
yeah,
or you're like sending out the wireless message, and I guess if Microsoft or Sony allows their new systems to recognize those old messages, mm-hmm, like... Then I guess, they would just work. But
yeah, and you
and
know,
then you can just buy them for like 50 cents at Goodwill.
As long as they just keep the same like setup where it's, you know, the certain number of drums and other
pieces.
Well,
and they said that they're getting like 95% of the songs from the previous Rock Bands are coming to this one too.
Okay. Well, I wonder. I bet there's a bunch of thrift stores that have like destroyed. I started to say thrift store, then I switched to Goodwill, and I'm like, that was a bad choice. But I bet there's a bunch of thrift stores who like destroyed their entire stock, and they're just gonna be like, damn it.
There's probably a bunch of dumps out there somewhere that are just a bunch of melted down drum sets and guitars. I know. I have no idea where mine is. It's probably in a shed
and
somewhere.
So they take up so much room. But when they come out with Rock Band Weird Al, I'm in.
Well, and the thing is too, they said that they're not gonna make like sequels to Rock Band 4, like they did the Beatles game, they did the Green Day game. They're just gonna add like expansions and DLC to it. So it's just the one game that just gets built upon itself.
So really, what they probably should have done originally, because it was kind of shitty to buy like a whole new Rock Band game when it's like, now we have.
They did do DLC anyway too, so you know, it just didn't really. It makes more sense to say, buy this one game and get all the DLC for the songs and the albums and whatever you want.
Well, exactly. Rock Band was definitely trying to future-proof their songs more so than anybody else. Like, their songs are still available. I don't think, like, they were doing a better job of it than Guitar Hero, I thought. Mm-hmm. It's so funny that, like, the mania of plastic guitar is, like, was so big here.
It was massive.
And then it just, like, stopped, and we, like, just all forgot about it or stopped caring. I wonder where, like, what kind of audience Rock Band will find itself with.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if it comes back, really.
Yeah, I mean, it still has somewhat of appeal. It's a good party thing. There's these San Francisco, they hold these big game parties, mm-hmm, like, once a month, and they have, like, live Rock Band, and, you know, but it, I think everyone's just like giving it to Goodwill, or it's like in their attic. I've seen so many sets like just dust it, like,
yeah. I feel like it's going to be a hard sell for them to say, hey, you want to play this again?
It's been so long. Parents could probably play with their kids at this point. You could have like the Partridge Family Rock Band.
Oh my God. And really, what's going to be the difference between the new gen game and, you know, last gen's 360 or PS4 PS3 version? Because, you know, if you have the same instruments and they still work with the new game, is it just basically going to be the same thing?
You don't know. Probably.
Who knows? Maybe they'll come up with something real cool.
We will see. And then
have faith.
Wolfenstein the Old Blood announced, which sounds like it's kind of like an expansion pack almost, or just like a big more game of Wolfenstein.
I heard it was a prequel, but that's all I heard about.
Yeah, I know it sends the dude back to World War II, so it becomes a straight up World War II shooter, not a weird sci-fi thing where if the Nazis won, now it is. No, it's you're in World War II now.
So it's more like instead of skipping all the crazy battles of World War II and everything that happened up until the point where you woke up from the coma, you get to experience that. Is that kind of what it is? I guess.
Yeah, but the New Order was received so well. I'm glad to see them getting, like, I guess it's kind of like the Far Cry Blood Dragon in a way. People really like this. Let's just make some more of it fast before we put out the next sequel. Mm-hmm. It got announced. Was it announced at PAX or GDC or PAX is also happening. PAX East is happening in Boston right now as well. Like it's all a blur. Our bro Anthony is there freezing his butt off in Boston.
He's gonna love coming back to California.
He bought a coat.
Yeah,
he'll be fine. He bought a coat.
Yeah, he was talking about that. He's like, I gotta go shopping and get a coat.
He's just used to needing just light coats in the Bay Area. So,
if at all, you're good
with a hoodie.
Warm up this weekend.
Really?
Supposed to warm up?
Yeah,
warm enough.
Yeah, no.
And then lastly, they announced Shovel Knight for the Xbox One, and included in that is Battletoads. They're going to be playable characters in the game, so the Battletoads are back.
That's so random.
Why not?
Yeah, I know they're a forgotten character, and like they haven't started a game probably in 20 years. Huh. And like I didn't even know Microsoft owned them. But
yeah,
like it asks more questions than it answers. But it was pretty cool to see them coming back.
I'd totally play a new Battletoads game if they had like a beat 'em up Battletoads game.
I wonder if this is them testing the waters for full-fledged Battletoads. I thought a Battletoads announcement was coming because I believe it was Phil Spencer.
Yeah, at the awards.
Yeah, at one of his last appearances, like he was on stage wearing a Battletoads shirt, and like that was the most exciting thing to me during the Spike Awards. Like he's wearing a Battletoads shirt.
Oh my god!
That's how people do stealth announcements now. Yeah, they wear the shirt and then 3 months later, they announce a thing.
Or they wear a pin on their pin.
Oh
my God, it's a Triforce on Reggie's.
We see how that went for the Half-Life 3 shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was. Well, I mean, so there were a ton of other announcements this week, including like two different VR machines. Like, I know Valve announced Source 2 and a VR machine for it. And everybody's like, they have a new Source. Half-Life 3, Half-Life. It just started Half-Life 3 talks all over again. And there were some new
Oculus.
You guys
tired of that already?
No.
Well, just there were so much VR in general at GDC. VR was taking it over.
Andy wrote a great piece on how like VR is coming, like went to the next level this time. And yeah, I mean, I would love to believe it. I would love to believe I can play it. I still think it's going to make me sick.
Man, it's... Oh, well, okay, so...
Yeah, probably.
I've tried the Oculus, but it was the old one. It was the one that was, like, slow, you know, refresh rate and all that. So, it, like, putting on those goggles is great. It's awesome. You can look around. You can look behind you, and it's crazy. But, man, it makes me dizzy. I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Valve saying that theirs has 0% of people experience motion sickness. I'm curious to see that myself.
I'll give it a shot.
And Andy also got to play around with Sony's Morpheus, too, which comes out next year. Which is shocking. I said this to Andy when we talked to GDC about it, but I think I hope this just doesn't end up like being like the Move, which is like, oh, cool piece of, or the Vita, a cool piece of tech with no games for it, or very, very few games for it. And like, Sony makes cool tech, but they don't always have games lined up. They pretty much are making tech before they think of making games for it.
Apparently that's like the next step for them is making the games. Like, they were talking about at least some of the demos. I was so mad because I went to a Morpheus panel where they were kind of just discussing it, and they kept talking about a demo. They're like, here's what you'll see in the demo, what you'll do in the demo. And I'm like, oh, cool, we're going to get to do a demo. And then, like, a guy ran up to the podium and was like, just to be clear, he's just talking about demos in general. There is not a demo available of Morpheus at GDC. I'm like, you liar.
So I was just curious, like, if you guys saw more VR than I did this year, but like last year there was, like, you know, these machines, things that you'd like walk and you could actually like move around.
Like the Omni?
Quote unquote. Yeah, the Omni.
I saw the Omni. Or,
yeah, are those things still a thing?
Did you guys see the swing? You were on the show floor.
Saw the swing. That was weird. I didn't get what it was for. It was like basically this log and two people would sit on it and they'd swing back and forth. And I think it had something to do with the game, but I didn't stop to watch.
It's a swinging game.
It was very strange. But the Omni's still a thing. And I actually saw one crazy thing. It was like this guy, they handed this guy two controllers that almost looked like just door handles. Mm-hmm. And on the screen, they turned into lightsabers. And it was like, what is this?
Oh, I've seen that like on a YouTube video.
Yeah, I saw that in person. He looked a little confused, like he was turning around in all directions and kind of just vaguely moving it around and wasn't too sure how to use it.
Yeah, they seemed to be doing all kinds of last year was more like the visual part of VR where you just put on goggles and you look around and you could see around the virtual room, but like more people are doing like put lasers in the corners of your room so we could figure out where your body is, so we could figure out, you know, the where you are in virtual space.
Shit's crazy.
It makes you wonder if, like, is this really the future? Like, there's been so many VR things. Will this be the real mass market future, or is this just the new fad?
I really can't imagine setting this all up in my living room or putting goggles on, putting headphones on, being completely isolated in this, like in your own brain, and then
for the common man.
Yeah, and then swinging your arms around your own house. That just doesn't seem like something that would work in a household. Maybe like going out to a virtual reality arcade or something. Maybe it would work or something, but I don't know. Not in my house.
What's crazier though was this is kind of a little indie thing, but I saw a game which everyone's probably like heard at least a little bit about. It's called Nevermind, and it tracks your heart rate while you're playing the game. So it's a scary game, and so it's like, oh, you're getting scared, game's gonna get harder, and it like makes it more difficult. And I was talking to the developer, I'm like, so VR? And she's like, yes, we want the, so imagine strapping like a strap around your chest to like gauge your heartbeat and then putting on the goggles and then putting on the headphones.
It's like getting geared up for war.
I'm getting geared up to game.
All
right. So there were a couple of reviews, too. Let's just go over them quickly because neither of the reviewers are here. But Ollie Ollie 2 came out, and our reviewer was okay with it. I know Lucas has been really addicted to it. He's been Mr. High Score on it.
He's like number 4 in the world for a couple of levels or something.
Yeah, it's
like
insane. Well, I think he got number 1 for one level. Yeah.
And he loves the soundtrack, but our reviewer didn't like so much the felt it was like way too frustrating and had some weird controls and just was like a bit too demanding in general, but you got a 3 out of 5. It's still all right.
Yeah, that's good.
And really, if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, wait 4 months. It will be free. I feel
probably.
And then Mario versus Donkey Kong Tipping Stars was the only other big review this week, and I got a 4 out of 5 from our reviewer Alex Jones. And it's another of those lemmings-ish Mario versus Donkey Kong games where you're not playing as Mario or Donkey Kong. You're just drawing on the screen to make paths for a bunch of marching Mario toys to walk towards the exit. And so it's just a series of puzzles like that.
I actually got a chance to play it, and it was pretty. It was pretty cute and fun. Just yeah. You know, you got to keep track of them because they'll get away from you. And but it's fun though. It's just like opening and this one's like opening and closing gates and like extending bridges. And then if you design a good level, people tip you stars. That's where they get tipping stars from.
That's cute.
So yeah,
I hadn't played it. I played pretty much all the previous ones, and I enjoyed them. This is their first console release because you can actually draw on the screen of the Wii U. So, like, before, interface-wise, you couldn't play a Mario versus Donkey Kong game on any previous Nintendo console. I will also say I like about it is that it is, I think, it is Nintendo's first cross-buy type game, where if you buy it on 3DS, you unlock the Wii U version and vice versa. So it's a neat idea, one Nintendo should be doing more, or really, like, with every game. Like, if it's on both systems, like an NES game, you should just get it on both. Just, like, buy them and get it on both.
But that'd probably be smart. You know, that would have been smart for Sony to do that with the PS4 and the Vita. But
they do that. There are cross-buy games on Sony.
It's
not everything, but they should be doing more, but they were pioneering it. But all right. So yeah, 4 out of 5. So seems all right. Check it out. Okay, so now we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it'll be the community segment with your answers to the question of the week. Hello, everybody. We're back. I shouldn't use hello, everybody, again. Well, that's the intro of the show. But hi. Hey. It's time for the community segment right now.
Community segment on Radio Radar. We read your stuff. If it's good enough.
All right, so the previous question of the week was, what game did you go back to that you then realized wasn't as good as you thought it was? Because we had been thinking reflectively with the top 100 having come out. So first off is Ghostwriter says, I think my number one game that isn't half as good as I remember being has to be Sonic Adventure on my beloved Dreamcast. I remember loading it up on launch day and being so amazed by it all. It was Sonic. In 3D. He was still ridiculously fast, but now beautiful polygonal landscapes. Years later, I got my Dreamcast out of storage and loaded up Sonic once more. Oh, dear. God-awful camera work that made platform jumping a chore. Highly annoying secondary characters, glitchy graphics, and unresponsive gameplay. How had I blocked all this out when I played it the first time?
Cyber Ninja says, the game I tried to play again years later but didn't like as much was Marvel vs. Capcom 1 and 2. So I guess that's two games. As a child playing them on Dreamcast, it was super fun even though I had no idea what I was doing. A few years back, I decided to get both of them when they were on sale right before they were being pulled from the networks forever.
It means on XBLA.
Yeah. And I just couldn't get into them again. I feel that they were more complex for the sake of complexity and just not very fun to play anymore.
All right. Punishment said, the original Diablo. I've overplayed Diablo 2 like everyone and was heavily into Diablo 3 at the time. Bought a cheap laptop and decided to toss on some older games. Put in Diablo 1 and didn't realize how much slower paced it was. I just couldn't have fun with it anymore. Even though when it first came out, it was my favorite game.
Aw, that's a little sad.
Sad.
Girl Draco says, the first Dragon Age because I didn't realize how long the game is and all the quests and items, even with the DLC. Jesus.
So, you know what? I'm going to give this to Girl Draco. She is the winner this week. And so you can email us at RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com. Almost did backwards there. RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com. Girl Draco, send me an email. Tell me what systems you have, and you will get something. And now for this week's question of the week, this inspired by the Battletoads coming back in Shovel Knight. What other old characters should return a la the Battletoads?
Huh. Oh, so many. I want
a lot of classic ones to go to. I'll start us out then. If we're talking, this is like, let me just set the parameters. This can be like, I guess for Ashley's sake, let's say 90, let's say 98 or earlier, though I was really thinking like 95 or earlier, but
damn.
You know what? I'm going to say Jumping Flash. I really love Jumping Flash on the PlayStation, even though really its style of 3D platforming was like murdered by Mario 64. Like Mario 64 did it better in every possible way. But Jumping Flash, the idea of a first-person 3D platformer where you play as a cyborg rabbit was pretty darn fun. And I think it'd be an okay, like, it was pretty much like Mirror's Edge, but cutesy. And not as, you know, the physics weren't as good either, but hey. But it deserves another chance and just like a quick downloadable, like, you know, 60 new levels or something. I'd enjoy that.
Hmm?
I would have to say Parappa the Rappa. Well, you know, it's hard because I could say Abe, I could say Bandicoot, and I love Darkstalkers. So, yeah.
But Parappa.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go Parappa because Parappa's my dude. If you look at my GR profile picture, we are engaged.
He could use a new album.
Like he could. Comeback album. The world could use Parappa back. It really, really could.
It'd be like when Dr. Dre came out with like the Chronic 2000 or whatever. Like long-awaited.
My ringtone is still Master Chop Chop Onion.
Kick, kick, punch. Punch, yeah. Punch, kick.
All right. But Ashley, Lorenzo?
I think my answer might be a little obvious, but I'm going to say either Banjo-Kazooie or Conker because... Who doesn't want them to come back, excluding Henry? I mean, they're a ton of fun. I love them. I miss them terribly, and I think they'd be fun in something new that isn't nuts and bolts or a rehash.
Nuts and bolts wasn't even that bad.
No, we do not speak of nuts and bolts.
So I got a quick look at Cuphead.
I wish I had played that. I was jealous you got to play it.
And that game is. So much like Contra, it makes me want to play Contra again.
Well, it's like Contra, except it looks like a Betty Boop cartoon.
Oh yeah, it's super cute. If you guys haven't seen Cuphead, you got to check it out. He like pulls up his shorts like before each fight. He's like totally 1930s animation. Yeah. But you know, back it's to the point.
It's gonna be a three or an Xbox One exclusive, I believe. Right?
Yeah.
It looks anyway, so good. Yeah.
Contra, then
I would go with the Contra guys because. That was one of my favorite games growing up, and
After a PS2 reboot, well, no, there was a DS reboot. That was the last time there was a Contra game.
Yeah, and
actually, I think there's a poster for it on the cabinet right outside.
Yeah, the Contra 4. Contra
4. I played so many hours of Contra. There was the boy, and I had a crush on him, and I used to play Contra together.
Bill and Lance. Bill and Lance. Bring those guys.
We're totally going out. We're playing Contra together, and he's like, "Get away from me!"
Oh God.
All right. So those are the our picks for this week. But you answer them in the comments for this week's episode on Games Radar, and we will pick our favorites, and one of you will win something, just like Girl Draco did this time. So that's about it for this week. It's been a fun GDC. I think we all need to rest up from all the fun we've been having at GDC.
So much.
And also, though, too, I almost forgot. I wanted to, you guys may or may not have seen the announcement that came this week, but we have two big new hires on the U.S. side and a bunch of new hires on the U.K. side as well. But in case you didn't know, from Joystick, Susan Arendt and Ludwig Keitzman are coming on in EIC and Managing Editor forms, and you will be hearing from them real soon, I think, on this show. But yeah,
exciting. There we go.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. All right. So anyway, oh crap! And the streams. We got to talk about the streams. Watch the streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 3:30 to 5. We do them on Twitch. Check them out. That's Pacific time, 3:30. We have a lot of fun on them, and you should be having fun with us.
Yeah, we play all kinds of games. From this last week, we gave away a bunch of prizes. I think Scott Michello was giving away all kinds of just garbage, which was kind of fun.
We got to clean out a lot of garbage from our giveaways. Yeah.
But then on Thursday, Henry, you missed it. We had Sid Meier on
that was really
the
cool.
Live stream.
It was really cool. I wish I could have been there. I'm sorry that I was not.
He's a super chill dude.
He seemed really nice.
Yeah. If you guys missed it, go ahead check out the Games Radar Twitch page and check out our highlight videos. It's all up there right now.
So. See Lorenzo play with a living legend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so until next time, Radio Radar, out!